Hey, good morning, church. Great to be with you this morning. My name's Josh, if we haven't met before, and I'm going to be opening the Bible with you this morning. We're continuing in our holiday series, When the Bible Gets Weird, this week. We've been working through it in the school holidays this year, and we're just stopping off for 1 week before we get into Deuteronomy next term. We've been using this book Tom French wrote, called The Weird, Crude, Funny and Nude Bits of the Bible. It's been great to use that to help us understand some of these bits. And today we're looking at Paul's cutting comments in verse 12 at the end of that reading Trevor read for us. But how about I pray and then we'll open God's word together. Dear Lord, thank you for the chance to open your word this morning. Thank you that we are still able to do church together in this difficult time. And I just pray that you would be present in our homes this morning, Lord. Just help me to speak clearly from your word this morning, Lord God. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, I was working as a diesel mechanic before I started at church this year. And I'd say I'm a pretty calm person most of the time. It takes a fair bit for me to get angry. But there was a couple times when I would get a little frustrated and angry. When it's late in the afternoon and all I wanted to do was just get home, and there'd be those last two bolts that I just couldn't get started, that were in some awkward position in the middle of a tractor. It's at those sort of times when I'd get a bit angry and frustrated. And I don't think generally anger is seen as a good thing. It's not good to get angry at someone or about something. But I want to ask, is there a time when maybe it is actually okay to get a bit angry? Well, we see Paul here in Galatians, in his letter to the Galatians. He gets a little bit angry. Paul is writing to the churches in Galatia here. Some of these churches he set up on some of his many missionary trips throughout those areas. And he's writing back to them in this letter because words got back to him that some things are happening in these churches and he's not too happy about it, even a bit angry. So I want to ask the question as we head into our first point, what's the big deal? What's happening here that matters so much? I think it'd be helpful just to get a little bit of context as to why Paul says this weird statement. So we're going to have a look at these people Paul refers to as agitators. Have a look at who they are and what they're sort of doing. These agitators were a group of Jewish Christians in the churches in Galatia, and they were insisting that new Christian Gentiles should be circumcised and follow some of the Old Testament laws. The Jews were trying to introduce a different type of induction into Jesus' kingdom. I'm sure you've had to do some sort of workplace induction or training when you've started a new job before. I can remember at my last job, we had these online safety training videos that we had to do and do a little test after each one. That was to make sure we knew how to use things like fire extinguishers, how to store hazardous chemicals, or when to wear safety glasses and hearing protection. And if we jump back into the churches in Galatia here, we see these agitators or Jews saying to the Gentiles, to be inducted into God's kingdom, into Jesus' kingdom, you need to trust Jesus and be circumcised. These agitators were a group of Jews who were hanging around just after Jesus had died, rose again, and ascended back to heaven. And they were part of the new Christian church. They weren't too keen on Jesus getting rid of all the Old Testament laws and that the Gentiles were joining the church without having to be circumcised and follow any of these laws. They believed in Jesus and that he died for their sins, but they just couldn't let go of some of the old laws. And the Gentiles, they were anyone who belonged to a nation other than the Jews. And Paul, the writer of this book, went on several missionary trips to the Gentile nations, teaching them about the good news of Jesus. So these Jews wanted anyone who started following Jesus to be circumcised. Excuse me. I don't think circumcision's a big deal in a church, in our church here today, but I think there are things that can be like it. There's the kind of person that wants to add things. You know, the person who might say we should have the Ten Commandments hanging up in church. Well, why isn't everyone wearing a suit and tie to church? They say it's really important we talk about Jesus and do these other things. That sort of person can creep in. And that might be some of the stuff for us, and the stuff for the Jews was circumcision. And Paul doesn't seem to like it here. So what's the big deal? Something about these agitators is making him really annoyed. And let's have a look at that in our next point. Paul gets angry. They're getting something about Jesus not quite right here, and it's making him really annoyed. I can remember with the safety training videos that I mentioned earlier, none of us really took them very seriously. And by that, I mean we just didn't really do them. And as time went on, at our weekly workshop meetings, the boss would mention it more and more. She would say, come on, guys, you need to get on, get some of that training done. And then a few weeks later, she'd start mentioning names. Josh, you haven't done any of them. Get on there and get some done. You could really start to hear some anger and frustration in her voice. And if we look at a few verses in Galatians here, I think you can really see Paul's got some anger and frustration in his voice. If we jump to chapter 4, verse 20, Paul says, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I'm perplexed about you. I think I might have read that a little bit too nice, actually. Can I just try that again? How I wish I am with you now, I could be with you now and change my tone, because I'm perplexed about you. That was meant to be my angry voice, if you couldn't tell. And I'm guessing Paul would have been a bit more intimidating than what I am. But he is confused and puzzled about what's going on here. And if we jump to chapter 5, verse 2, Paul says, mark my words. I, Paul, tell you. You don't start a sentence with mark my words when you've got something good to say. I don't think it'd be quite right if I said to my wife in the morning as I'm leaving for work, mark my words. You have a good day and I love you. That sounds like a threat. And at the end of Paul's letter, he writes in chapter 6, verse 11, see what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Paul has had caps lock on for most of his letter. He's used heaps of exclamation marks. And at the end of his letter, he's making sure they haven't missed it. If only he could have put a few emojis in here or there, it might have helped get his point across. A couple of sad faces or angry faces would have really made his point. Paul is angry about what's going on in these churches in Galatia, and he seems to lose it in 5 verse 12. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. He's saying, as for you stirrers, if you love circumcision so much, why don't you just go ahead and cut everything off? Well, if he's trying to make a point, I think he's done a good job. I know us blokes are really feeling the point here. So why is Paul so angry? What is it about these agitators teaching circumcision that has him saying these cutting comments? What's the problem? Well, let's have a look in our last point now. Paul cares about the problem, and so should we. Paul is getting angry here because what he's discussing is at the heart of the gospel. either Jesus saves you or your good works save you. So why was the boss getting angry at us for not doing our safety training? Well, I'm sure partly probably because her boss was getting angry at her. But I guess they didn't really want us cutting our arms off or burning the place down or something like that. The boss was getting angry for our own good. And Paul's getting angry here because they're getting the gospel wrong and they're leading people astray and shutting them out of the kingdom of God. They're minimizing the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross and want to play a part in their own salvation. They're saying Jesus and circumcision saves. Jesus and my good works save. These are real reasons to get angry. Paul explains himself in chapter 5. I'll read a couple of verses from it here now. Verse 2 says, "Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you. And in verse 4, "You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ and have fallen away from grace." And lastly, in verse 6, For in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love." So if they think circumcision or any tradition they want to keep contributes in any way, they're missing the point. Because the big change that Jesus brings is that you're in his kingdom by grace. It's a free gift given to you. You just have to trust Jesus and Jesus saves. It's nothing you can work for. The only thing that counts is faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. The death and resurrection of Jesus is worth fighting for. It's worth getting right and protecting it from people changing and distorting it. The gospel is worth getting right. And I wonder sometimes if you're not too worried if someone gets the Jesus bit a little bit wrong. When people miss the gift of Jesus and what it really means. I think often we can feel like we just want to be nice people. You might not be a big tradition person, but you might think as long as you're nice, it doesn't really matter. As long as we're decent people and kind to each other, the Jesus bit, it doesn't really matter. Well, mark my words. Paul would say you're dead wrong. It does matter. The death and resurrection of Jesus for sin is a non-negotiable for Paul. And it makes him really annoyed when people get it wrong. And it should make us annoyed too. Because it does matter, and it matters a lot. That's why sometimes the gospel can make you angry for a good reason. This is one of those times when it's okay to get a bit angry. It's okay to get angry for the gospel and get it right. I think it might be right sometimes that people at church might get a bit angry at you if you get the gospel wrong. It doesn't sound very polite to say, but I think it's too important to get wrong. If you've been praying for someone and you invite them to church for the first time, and the first time they come along, someone at church goes up to them and says, "Wow, I never thought I'd see you here. You know the TABs across the road?" Or if you've been getting beside someone and sharing Jesus with them, and someone else from church becomes friends and says to them, "Mate, you could never be a Christian. You'd have to give up drinking and swearing." If someone invites a friend to church or is sharing Jesus with a friend, it's because they want them to hear about Jesus. And if you want to add something to that, it might be right that someone gets a little bit angry at you. It's okay to have sharp conversations with people at church who are leading other people astray. Paul has to the Galatians here, standing up for the gospel. If you're someone that's a bit sceptical of Jesus, not sure what the whole death and resurrection thing really means, or just wondering why this guy's sitting here talking about circumcision so much, that's okay. But I hope you can see how passionate Paul is about getting Jesus right. Can I encourage you to get the right understanding of Jesus and what he's done for you? Don't just assume that he's not for you. Get the whole picture and make a decision on that. One way of doing that is coming to our Jesus introduction course. Carl mentioned it earlier, and it's starting next week, and it'll be run throughout the years. It only goes for 3 Tuesday nights and is designed to help you understand Jesus. You can sign up to that at our website, dpc.cc/next. And there's a few other ways on there that you can get connected to church as well. The good news is that God has done everything possible and everything necessary to make a way for us to be right with him and saved to eternal life. This is worth getting right for our own sake and for everyone around us. The gospel is worth getting angry about because it's worth getting right. Let me pray. Thank you that you have made it possible for us to be in a relationship with you, Lord. Thank you that it's not through what we do, but because of what you've already done on the cross, Lord. Help us to understand that it's through Jesus and Jesus alone that we are saved. And not try and add or change anything, but stay true to Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.